Buccaneers fans, it's time for the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Ira Kaufman. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. We are dropping this podcast on July 3rd, but we've got another one coming tomorrow, July 4th, already recorded, a little more lighthearted. Today we get into all kinds of things with the Bucks, of course. And remember also to subscribe and listen to the Best in Class podcast. And you can find that on Apple Podcasts, on JoeBucksFan.com, other places. That is our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford. He's in the middle of reviewing rapid fire all of the drafts by division from this year and what that means. Pretty cool stuff. And Sean will be entertaining us with that through July. Bill Curry Ford also has everything you need in July. Check out their website, BillCurryFord.com. Third generation family dealership, mobile service at your home, tremendous service all across the board from the body shop to sales. And Sean will help you personally. That is a major advantage. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. You can find his email there, or you can just go to the dealership a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. And we're going to talk about Bill Curry Ford later in the podcast. As same for Florida's Elite Restoration, family owned, fantastic. And you have to have a company, a restoration company in your disaster plan. If you're a homeowner or a business owner, disasters don't avoid businesses. Florida's Elite Restoration is that company. Owner Josh Martin, another big Bucks fan, he is ready to help you 24/7 with his highly experienced team. They've got 25 years of experience and more on the other side of the business, on the insurance side. So they know how to get not only your property restored, but to make sure you get all the funding that is coming your way that you're paying for. That really is the key to not get ripped off and to make sure you have the funds necessary to make your property whole. It's your biggest investment. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. We'll also talk about them later in the podcast. Now, we are happy to be here on a holiday weekend, marching toward training camp. Let's step in with the sage and see what he's up to. How you doing, Ira?
I got big plans for this holiday weekend. Big, big plans.
Well, it's Saturday. Is it included an umbrella?
Practicing my guitar. Brought my Les Paul home a few days ago. Got the amp. Got the strap, got the case, got the picks, got the tuner, and I'm a little short in the bank account as a result.
So speaking of tuner, I'm glad that you mentioned tuner.
Got to have a tuner.
Because Bill Parcells, his nickname is the Tuna. But the history of that nickname is that his real nickname is the Tuner. He was considered such a precise coach that he was always trying to come up with precision.
Are you making that up?
No, I am not making that up. But in the way you guys from New York speak, tuner became tuna, and that's the origin of his nickname. Now, I bring up Bill Parcells because, Ira, you talked to him this week, and what was that all about, and what do we need to know?
Well, I wanted to get his thoughts on Todd Bowles once Bowles got his extension, which came out of the blue, so to speak. He didn't have to get it right now, but the Glazers are convinced that he's the right guy to push this team where the Glazers want it to be, which is raising a Vince Lombardi trophy. A large portion of Buck Nation doesn't think Bowles is ever going to get there. We shall see. I think this roster's talented enough to make a lot of noise this fall, but I decided to call Parcells. He's very, very tight with Bowles. They talk all the time during the season. Bowles calls him. He called Bowles. Ah, you made a mistake here. That was a bad decision you made at the end, or great victory, Todd. I'm proud of you. They got a long history together. Now, Parcells remembers when Bowles was patrolling the secondary for the Washington then Redskins in the 80s. And, of course, Parcells was coaching the Giants, division opponent. Knew Bowles very well as a player, strengths and weaknesses. But he gave Bowles his first NFL coaching job with the Jets, I believe, in...
How was it?
2000. Yeah, 2000.
And then brought him to Dallas. And then brought him to Miami when Parcells was running football operations. They know each other really well. He's very proud of Bowles. Look, he's disappointed the way things didn't work out in New York for Bowles after 4 years. I think he won 24 games. Well, you don't have to be a math wizard. That's an average of 6 wins. That's going to get you fired.
Sure.
And it did. He won 10 games his first year.
All downhill after that.
Yeah, well, maybe that was a mistake. Got expectations up. But anyway, he talked to me about Bowles. He talked to me about Mayfield. And he talked to me about Belichick. I asked him about Belichick. Well, I think he was ready for me to start asking about Jordan Hudson. And he said, we're going to talk about Belichick, the football coach. That's what we're going to talk about.
So that's what he said
cut
to
you.
You
off, huh?
Yeah, that's what he says to me. He says, what are we talking about? Belichick, the coach? I said, yeah, let's start there. Belichick, the coach. You know, he was very happy to talk him up as, you know, one of the all-timers. Mm. Then when I mentioned, and I did, well, Belichick skeptics say he didn't do anything once Brady left Foxborough. He did nothing. And he didn't do much before he hooked up with Brady in Foxborough. Oh, he bristled.
Is that right?
Yeah, the tuna bristled. And he goes, we're not playing solitaire here, Ira. This is the National Football League, and it takes a combination. It takes a combination.
So Parcells is not Stephen A. Smith.
And then I mentioned, and he was impressed because I'd said it right away. I go, you know what? Drew Brees would probably have been a hell of a player no matter where he ended up. But the fact he ended up with Sean Payton, that accentuated all of Brees' talents. Mm-hmm. He goes, good example, Ira. I'm proud of you. Good example. He's very high on Belichick.
I guess they mended fences because wasn't there some friction for a while
there? He talks to him a lot during the winter.
Really?
Yeah, talks to him a lot.
Maybe he's looking for a party invite.
And where's Belichick? He's up in Saratoga, New York, Lee. Goes up there every
Parcells.
Summer.
Parcells.
Parcells. Okay. Got a home up there.
Yeah.
And he's got a home on the East Coast of Florida.
Jupiter, right?
Very tight with Ron Wolf, Hall of Fame mm-hmm. executive.
Former Bucks GM.
Yeah, yeah. He's the guy that drafted Leroy Selman. Now, everybody in the world would have drafted Leroy Selman.
Well,
probably number one overall. But it was Wolf. Then Wolf had a falling out with who else? You Culverhouse.
Yeah.
And McKay.
Yeah.
And McKay. And he left. And
went back
to the Raiders. And now he's in the Hall of Fame. Who knows what would have happened if Ron Wolf would have stuck around one Buck place?
Well, let's be honest. The core of that 79 team was Ron Wolf players.
He went to trade at the number one pick in the draft for Jimmy Giles. Ended up being Earl Campbell.
Don't ever tell Sean Sullivan that. He'll hit the ceiling.
So Parcells is getting in your face there.
He's getting in my face. And then I start telling him some stories. I go, Bill, you're probably not going to remember this, but 45 years ago, I was covering the Giants for United Press International. He goes, gee, I don't remember you, Ira. I said, this Brooklyn accent? You forgot about me? And I said, we had a heck of a group. We had Vinny Detrani. We had Bob Glauber, guys like that. He goes, yeah, that was a lot of fun back then. And then I told him the story of getting in the elevator with him when he was running Dolphins operations. And me and Roy went to the preseason game in Miami. And, you know, we get there 2 hours before the game. Parcells comes in the elevator with us, along with a guy that was working with the Dolphin website. He's in the elevator with us and Roy. And the doors close and I look at Parcells. And I'm telling him this story over the phone. And I go, you were very svelte, Bill. You know, I didn't say you're not now because I don't know. I said, you were very svelte. So I said, Bill, you're looking good. What's going on? He goes, been doing a lot of running. I paused for a couple seconds. Then I said, yeah, running away from the media is from what I heard. And the guy that was running the website, he turned crimson. He couldn't believe I said that to the great tuna. And Parcells chuckled, you know, and he remembered it. And I go, then the doors opened and you got off the floor before we did. And when the doors opened, you turned around and said, I miss a guy like you. So I'm on good terms with him. I feel I could call him again.
Wow.
Ask him about Servassier Dennis in October. And by the way, he's high on Mayfield. Loves him.
Mm.
I think the killer quote from Parcells is they've won 3-4 division titles in a row. And I don't see any reason to think that's going to stop in the near future. He's high on the Bucks.
Did Parcells, by any chance, mention over the years how he talks to Bowles often? Did he ever tell Todd Bowles, Todd, you need an edge rusher?
He said, well, I haven't mentioned that, but I know there's a guy named DeKemper who wants me to start talking to Bowles about that.
So that's pretty wild, Ira. So Bill Parcells, 83 years old, still sharp as a tack. I know Keyshawn Johnson has been saying publicly on different shows that he's on that he talks to Parcells every week. And that he's, you know, knows everything that's going on. So no decline is what you're telling us?
No, very sharp. And he couldn't wait for the meet to start in Saratoga, which I believe is this week.
It's always the summer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Big
he says,
deal.
Oh, there's going to be 48 days of racing. He can't, and he's owned thoroughbred racehorses, this guy. He's owned them. So this is his hobby now. You know, it gives him something to do. Saratoga, New York, Steve. It's an expensive place to live.
Yeah. Very beautiful setup there. All right, Ira. Well, that's pretty cool. You know, it's not every day that one of our local folks picks up the phone and says, hey, Bill, it's Ira.
I feel like hopping on a plane and going up there and surprising him at the meet.
What, the track?
$20 down on your horse, Bill.
Big spender.
Big spender.
We had some fun last week with Rondé Barber and all his comments on his WFLA streaming show.
He hasn't stopped with the comments, has he?
Well, it's a long show. He's got a lot to say. But he was pretty firm, Ira, that Baker Mayfield is his sixth best quarterback in the National Football League. That in Barber's mind, yeah, the elite tier of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Mahomes, those are the, quote, perennial MVP candidates. And after that, for him, it's Jaden Daniels, and then Mayfield at number six. So you could tell me what you guys think of that, as Mayfield is number six, but I keep looking at this as, if the Bucs believe it, and a Bucs icon believes that, then how much pressure really is on Todd Bowles if he's got the sixth best quarterback in the NFL? Because all those other teams mentioned in their quarterbacks, meaning Daniels with Washington, Josh Allen, Bills, etc., Mahomes, Chiefs, all of those teams expect to go to the conference championship game.
Six might be a little high, Lee. I don't know if I'm going to go six. You got guys like Matt Stafford. I think he's still a good quarterback. Jordan Love in Green Bay. Done some really good things.
I can't put Love over Mayfield.
I'm certainly not putting Aaron Rodgers ahead of Mayfield at this point. I'm not doing that. You know, Herbert. You know, but what's Herbert done? What's he done? He hasn't done much.
He's sort of like Mayfield.
I think there's a lot of pressure on Herbert because he's got a good head coach now in Harbaugh.
No receivers.
They got a good team.
Outside of Ladd McConkey.
Yeah. Six is a little high. You keep talking about the pressure being ramped up on Bowles. I don't think it bothers him, Lee. I think he's got a lot of confidence in himself. He doesn't lack for self-confidence. The one word that Parcells used two or three times about Bowles, smart. Smart. And I think one other very good quality for Bowles is, I think his ego's in check, Lee. I think it's in check. He doesn't deny that the defense is underachieved. How could you? Especially last year. And it wasn't great 2 years ago either. But he's ready to make some adjustments, Steve. We will see. But if they line up in Atlanta week one, and I see Jamel Dean and McCollum 12 yards off Drake London, I'm going to be screaming right down to the field from the press box, right over Orlando Ledbetter's head.
They'll throw you out, won't
fix
they?
Fix this thing, Bowles. Fix it.
Won't they throw you out?
I don't care if Light's sitting behind me.
No, it's not about Light.
You know what? Light's probably going to be thinking the same thing.
No, when it, just for people who don't know what I'm talking about or think I'm being an ass, there is protocol for media. You can't be one of the team, I don't want to get in trouble here, but one of the team employees who openly cheer in the press box when there's a squeal. They squeal in the press box. When his Bucs score a touchdown.
And there might be some media members along those lines too, Lee.
You mentioned that Todd Bowles' ego is in check. Tell Tampa Bay which head coaches you've been around whose egos were not in check.
Well, the first coach I ever covered in the National Football League, 1979.
Perkins?
Ray Perkins. It was Perkins' way or the highway. And you don't hear players talk about Bowles in that manner.
Absolutely.
I heard Yaya Diaby do an interview the other day where he was talking about how Bowles is... door is always open. You can make suggestions to him. He listens to you. May or may not take the suggestion. Steve, from a player perspective, Bowles is a dream coach.
They love him.
Fan perspective, we shall see. what do we got, Lee? 3 weeks? He's going to be here before you know it.
Three weeks. I know.
Not even.
I'm worried about the Kemper, Steve. I'm worried about him. It's your job to make sure he's all greased up. he's got a hat. A big hat.
Are you telling me I got to put sunscreen
on him?
He's
got a kerchief around him.
No dude's going to put sunscreen on me.
I was going to say, Lee's going to punch me in the face if I start.
Well, what if Kay Adams shows up and she volunteers?
I'll pay her to put sunscreen
on
me.
There you go. Lee's smart enough to stay under those bleachers in the shade.
Plenty of rest time between now and then to recharge and recalibrate. Buccaneers first practice, I believe, July 23rd. Not open to the general public.
But three practices will be open to
the general. Well, it's not open to anybody. Media only. And then the next day is the first open practice, July 24th, Thursday. Ira, one thing that's always open is BillCurryFord.com. Don't worry, drive Curry. Now, Bill Curry Ford is Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships since 1960, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. They've got all kinds of offers, but they've got, more importantly, great quality, great inventory, and a family atmosphere that you can trust. Ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount. They got the largest service department in Florida, 100 loaner vehicles, mobile service at your home. You've probably seen their vans driving around. BillCurryFord.com. Check them out today. Great weekend to go shopping.
Well, you're talking about arrogant coaches, and you said Ray Perkins. Egos.
And Greg Schiano. Throw him right in there.
He was, I don't know if arrogant is the right word, very, very sure of himself. But I like Greg. He was not a good football coach for the Bucs, no doubt about it. But Steve and I, one time, were in a meeting with him, and he came across, Steve, wouldn't you say, rather confident in himself? We'll get this turned around. We'll get this turned around. Remember him saying, there's no doubt in my mind. We'll get this turned around.
I like the guy, too, but he was a lunatic. You know, at least talking about, we had a meeting with Schiano when it was starting to fall apart to the extreme. He wanted to meet with us. We had to go through a back door, through a kitchen.
Year two, right? Year two.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
I felt like RFK going through a kitchen in a California hotel.
This guy's running the team, and he's having us walk through like side doors to have a covert meeting with
cloak
him.
And dagger.
Well, yeah. He tipped his hand early in his first year with the Bucks when they went to a Giant Stadium, and he tried to crush the victory formation and got reamed out by Coughlin, who's a potential Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah.
And here's Schiano. And what was Schiano's answer? It worked at Rutgers. It worked at Rutgers.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, you're not at Rutgers anymore. And I think it was all downhill for Schiano
from there.
He won 7 games that first year, Lee.
He did okay, and then after that, it fell off the map. He went 5-17, I think.
Oh, it was awful. I mean, yeah. 0-8 in his final season to open up. 6-4.
6-4, and then went downhill after that.
When he started, yeah.
Isn't it a coincidence? In my imagination, seems like the most arrogant mofos as coaches are the horrible coaches. To me, I've covered 7 different NFL coaches, Bucks and other teams. Some of those guys are borderline Hall of Fame. Some are not. Lovey Smith was by far the most arrogant SOB I've ever dealt with.
Certainly, Lovey Smith didn't like to be second-guessedly.
Oh, no, at all. No.
Especially from peons like us in the media.
How dare you ask me that question?
Yeah.
Who are you?
He had a decent stint in Chicago. Like, they made the Super Bowl.
This ain't Chicago.
You know, he tanked for Jameis. We all know that. But he couldn't get it done, and then he went to Houston. Couldn't get it done.
Went to Illinois. Couldn't get it done.
Yeah, he went to Illinois. Yeah. You know, Cutter. Cutter's ego wasn't bad.
No.
He had one famous confrontation with a member of the Tampa Bay media. I'm going to tear you down. I'm going to wreck you, he said to the media member. I don't know if you guys know that story.
Mike Florio detailed on his NBC show how Cutter got physical with him right in his face at an owner's meeting, you know, ready to go.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Oh, you heard it. We talked about it, man. It's years ago. You heard it. It's in the JoeBucksFan.com archives. Well, anybody can read about it there.
What Florio do to piss him off?
He had referenced the whole, at the time in 2016.
Lovey put out that nonsense that Cutter stabbed him in the back.
Yeah, a palace coup.
Yeah, the palace
coup
with Jason Light or whatever. So anyway, keeping it current, I'm glad Lee asked you about those, more on those arrogant coaches, because ego is a big issue in the NFL. It is.
Yeah, it is.
And it grows and grows each year because of the greater spotlight. And look, coaches included are making it astronomical money now, GMs, etc. Some of that comes with the territory. You start to
Steve, you know, I don't mind it if you can back it up on the field, like
bingo.
Belichick.
Bingo.
Belichick can say what the hell he wants. He's fabulous.
He's got jewelry.
All right, so Ira, look, you've gone on, and we're not going to let you do that again today, about backup quarterbacks that the Bucks the Bucks need better than Kyle Trask. We're not going there today. But one thing that was going on, and it's going to come up at some point. Now, Lee talked about it during underwear football, and granted, underwear football, you don't hit anybody, there's no pads, but Lee did mention a couple of times that, hey, you know, it looks like Kyle Trask is running for his life behind the second team Bucks offensive line. They look horrible, but again, there's no real blocking, but it's, you know, 25% blocking, whatever. My point is that Pat Kerwin on NFL radio annually ranks and rates and breaks down offensive lines, takes them like 3 weeks. Not 3 weeks, maybe 5 full days, 6 days.
Does it by division,
Goes team by team. Deep dive. And Kerwin basically was saying, look, the Bucks have the highest grade possible that I can give, and it's a very intricate grading system for their starting offensive line. But the backups get a 0.
So he had them 5th overall, right? Something like that.
No, just the starting offensive line he had as the best in the league, or tied for it. But the backups, he gave a 0, and maybe overall they were 5 or 6 is what he was saying. But he was
pleading with Todd Bowles, a friend of his, to look, Todd, go out, sign a lunch pail, veteran guy who's had a lot of experience, because you're going to lose somebody at some point, and don't blow having a great offensive line with no backups.
Why is he fingering Bowles instead of Light?
Well, he's both of them, the Bowles and Light. Your thoughts? Do you feel as strongly about the backup offensive lineman on this team as you do the quarterback situation?
No. First of all, quarterback's the most important position in professional sports, any sport. So you got that. I'm not going to compare the left guard to a quarterback in terms of how much damage it does when they get injured. To Kerwin's overall point, Lee, I'm not overwhelmed with the depth behind the five offensive line starters, but, and maybe you could say this about the backup quarterback situation, how many teams have good backups? How many teams?
What do you call a good backup?
Somebody with a proven backup with some experience. Proven. Not Elijah Klein. And not
for an offensive line.
Yeah, for an offensive line.
Okay. Well, I can't go there.
If Barton's hurt, I don't know who comes in for Barton. I don't know about that. That's where they could miss a Hainsey.
I think there's a fair amount of teams that have a backup who's got a lot of snaps under his belt.
I think Light could be looking for something like that when the final cuts are made in late August, early September. I think he could get a veteran.
Is it fair to say, if we're talking about a
backup? I'm not looking for Trent Williams over here.
Is it fair to say if the Bucks, or we're talking about the Bucks getting a backup left guard, that this team doesn't have a lot of problems?
I agree with that. It's another example. We're talking about backup quarterbacks. You know, that's a priority. You're in good shape. Lee, they can't bank on overwhelming health. I mean, that's a failing proposition. They've been a little fortunate. Now, last year they got hit hard on defense, but not on the offensive line, not at quarterback. Incredibly healthy at quarterback for like 6-7 years.
Durable, I'd say.
Durable. You can't,
I think,
count
he got hurt
that.
A couple times.
But yeah, it doesn't mean guys didn't get banged up, but they play.
Yeah.
Mayfield plays.
To your point, the Bucs had a pretty good veteran offensive lineman as a backup when they won the Super Bowl in 2020. That was A.Q. Shipley. And, of course, we always remember how Alex Kappa went down. And his name escapes me now. Say it, Steve.
Aaron Stinney.
Aaron Stinney came in, and they didn't miss a beat. So there's your evidence right there, Ira, that it probably behooves them to get a couple of backups.
We're looking for chinks in the armor, Steve.
Yeah.
But to Lee's point, which I think is a very smart one. When the first thing you're looking up is backups, you know, that's a hell of a roster.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a roster.
Well, but it's still important because you use backup offensive linemen every year. I think the greater point is that they need somebody if they're really serious to the extreme, right? Are we going to have salary cap room laying around and not sign a really good backup offensive lineman? Why? Why would you?
Look, I think it's on Light's mind. I don't put it past Light to get one.
Tristan Wirfs has gone down every year except for 2020, correct?
Not for a long term.
No, but still, when you lose a guy like Wirfs, you better have someone that can come off the bench and get you over the hump.
That's the way I felt about the backup quarterback. Look, if Mayfield's out 3 or 4 weeks, I don't think you should accept going 1-3.
They've had those guys, Ira, but I agree with you. I mean, I think Jason Light probably isn't finished. And they're always looking, allegedly.
They're always looking.
They do fall in love with their own guys. And, that can be dangerous. As I noted when I wrote about this at Joe Bucks Fan, in 2015, DeMar Dotson went down starting right tackle in preseason. Next thing you know, Jason Light, 2 days later, he signs Gosdar Cherilis, an 11-year veteran, who comes in and plays well. And they had the third best running game in the NFL that year. And their starting center, Joe Hawley, right after 53-man rosters were named, the Falcons cut him. He's starting for the Bucs.
Well, you're proving that you can find guys.
Yeah.
You can find guys.
But you got to be willing to do that and look your guy in the face that you've been grooming, or an Elijah Klein drafted.
Elijah Klein, he's a sixth-round pick. He has no experience. So I don't know what to expect from Elijah Klein.
Well, I don't either. You know what's weird to me, Ira? So I'm just talking eyeball tests. I don't know. I don't give a damn what the roster says or what his bio says when he was in college. In the locker room with no pads on, he looks like a little guy. He puts pads on, it's like, well, it's a big SOB. I'm just talking about perception.
Heck is
a monster.
He's massive.
He's a monster. But Elijah Klein, maybe because he's hanging around Tristan Wirfs, anybody would look small next to Tristan Wirfs outside of Heck. And maybe it's an optical illusion, I don't know. But to me, the eyeball test and shorts and t-shirts. Looks like a small dude.
You know, putting this offensive line together, the starters, I think it's one of Light's greatest achievements.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
And he has
twice.
Said,
because we were smacking the O-line around for years. It's no good. It's not, it's
you
not
were.
Any good.
You were.
I knew.
You were harder on that. But
well, because they couldn't run the ball.
Light said this, that this was a dream of his, the situation he has now with an excellent O-line, all returning, which is very rare.
And young.
And young and good and very rare in the NFL to have them all returning. Ira, something happened in the Bay Area that went under the radar this week that has to be mentioned because it just never happens, and it's a big deal as it relates to football and football fans last weekend, actually. But bottom line, I don't know if you saw this, Michael Penix, the Falcons quarterback, was honored up in Dade City, Pasco County. They named a bunch of stuff after him. The Dade City commissioner got up and said, Ann Constantino, if you can hear me, she gets up and says, we're a Falcons town.
Oh!
Says, we're an Atlanta Falcons town now, is the exact quote. Penix, of course, is from Dade City. Apparently, his family has been involved for years in Dade City government. His father was a top high school player. I'm reading from the story here in the Hernando Sun. A crowd of about 500 decked out in Falcons red, black, and white.
This is outrageous.
In Dade City, they held a street naming event. Penix also hosted a 300 kid youth camp up there and expects to do a lot more. I don't remember, maybe you guys do, I don't remember a prominent top player, especially a quarterback from another team, young, coming in and deciding, hey, I'm going to be impacting my community, my hometown, with Falcons gear. And what do you think of all that?
I'm a little down on these East Pasco residents over here, Lee. Now, I went to Dade City many, many times when I was covering preps for the Tribune. W.F. Edwards Stadium, sitting there on, State Road 52, and it held thousands of people. Big stadium.
Did they have electricity
and,
back then?
Pasco had really good teams back then. Good teams. They had a guy, Darren Hambrick, played linebacker for the Cowboys. Mm. But Lee, you know what these people should be doing? You root for Penix, but you don't root for the Falcons.
Yeah.
You want Penix to have a good season, but you want the Bucs to win the division.
Yeah, you want
What's going on? It's topsy-turvy.
Yeah, Lee. You want your hometown guy to do well, but
they're very loyal to their Pasco Pirates.
Well, turning on the Bucs is you said the outrage, I think you
and
said.
And his father played for Pasco, and he was a good player.
Well, that's great. I mean, my gosh, how many NFL guys are there from around this area? I mean, who was that dopey wide receiver for the Eagles that got busted for dropping the N-word? Riley Cooper. I don't see Clearwater Central Catholic. We're Eagles fans. No.
We'll see what these Dade City people have to say when Atlanta loses the opener to the Bucks 30-14. We'll see if they come around to
that. I just got to say, I've never heard of that before. Now,
shame.
It would be one thing to me, and I'm say this in all seriousness, it'd be one thing if Penix was 34 years old at the end of his career, doing more in his hometown and deciding, okay, I'm going to live there when I retire. But he's 20, and he's basically putting his flag saying, I'm bringing Falcons life and my passion right here in Bucks country and in a big way. Because, not every player has a 300-kid youth camp like that. Most of them are much smaller. It's a big deal.
I love the fact he's committed to the community.
That's nice.
That shows his character.
Yeah, that's great. That's all great. But, when Dante Fowler played for fill-in-the-blank team, he's played for half a dozen teams, you don't see St. Petersburg's mayor sitting there, we're Rams fans,
The Tampa Bay fans leave the Bucks and go to the Giants when JPP was drafted by the Giants in the first round, after a great career at USF. Speaking of Penix, Lee, I don't know how you feel about him. I'm not sure he's going to make it.
I'm not sure
he's going to make it big. Make it big. I'm not sure.
What do you call big? Hall of Fame?
If he's ever going to have a Pro Bowl in his future. I don't know
that. I can't go there at all.
I can't go there. Oh, you think the guy's going to be outstanding?
I thought I was almost begging the Bucks to draft him. I mean, I'm not anti-Mayfield. But I would have been cool if the Bucks would have drafted, and I really would have been cool. When I heard, and Michael Lombardi was the worst, just going bananas how the freaking Falcons, how dare they draft Michael Penix.
Well, they don't look so stupid now.
Hell no, they don't look so stupid now. You said it on this very podcast. Quarterback is the number one position. If you don't have one, look at the Bucs pre-Jameis.
But he's unproven.
Well, every freaking quarterback
is unproven. Just like your man Servasi ate Dennis. Unproven.
Yeah, I mean, my God, you got to start somewhere. I mean, write the guy off because he's five starts?
Here's his chance. He's the unquestioned starter for the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris doesn't hesitate. Kirk Cousins is now his backup.
Don't tell me you're already calling this guy Joey Harrington a second.
No. But I'm not convinced he's going to be a standout.
Well, are you asking me if I put $5,000 down at Hard Rock?
Well,
no.
When you contrast him with Mayfield, who's already had three or four really good seasons.
Well, yeah,
in the NFL.
But you're comparing a greenhorn to a veteran.
That's why it gives the Bucs a big leg up.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying. I thought the question was, do you expect Penix to be in a Pro Bowl in his career? I'm like, why not? Right now, why not? You know, I can't write him off.
Ira, you know what? It's fun. I'm glad you guys have had this back and forth because for me, I'm going to bring it right back to Todd Bowles. It's all about Todd Bowles.
You're kind of week one.
If he's not that good, like you're saying, meaning I'm not sure if his ceiling is even Pro Bowl.
Now you got Reddick coming off the blind side of a left-handed quarterback.
You got it from where you're sitting. You got a talented young quarterback. I don't think he's going to be special. All the more pressure on Bowles to make sure you win that game and go 5-1 in the division this year.
I'm trying to be fair to Ira.
I didn't say he's a bust. I didn't say that.
Is the word – okay, that's where I thought you were going. Yeah. Is the missing word here yet?
To a degree.
That's fair.
But Sullivan, when he was analyzing that draft class, you know what he said about Caleb Williams.
Oh, he loved Williams and he loved Penix, too.
But he wasn't putting Penix in the Williams category.
Ira Yaya Diaby was at the sack summit. Okay, so there's Lee's always celebrating sacks. It could be
was Braswell there?
No mention of Braswell.
No mention of Braswell.
Last year Kansas was there and he had a pretty good year.
There you go.
So there's Tight End University, which gets all kinds of accolades and publicity because they do a great job marketing it, and now Travis Kelce with Taylor Swift playing for the attendees. You know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's not like the journalist summit where you guys get, you know, Frank Sinatra impersonator out there.
Lucky to get a free hot dog.
Yeah, yeah. So
Frank Sinatra impersonator. It's a good line.
So, and you get Taylor Swift.
It's a good
line. Von Miller also created the sack summit, and that's been going on a while. And Diaby was talking about.
Is Miller on a team?
No.
Not yet.
He's not on a team. Okay.
No.
I think he's done. We'll see.
If he lowers his price, who knows, right?
He's a spot player. You know, he's a situational player at this point.
So Diaby is out there, and he said they broke down technique from head to toe, hands, feet, everything. He really enjoyed all that. But he said he learned a lot from Miller and Max Crosby. He mentioned Crosby a couple of times, saying that he learned a lot about seeing the hands of offensive linemen and using his eyes better, sort of being just better awareness when he's rushing. And I guess some of that... Some people might say that's tied to the game slowing down where you can see more nuances and things.
I saw a clip of that. I saw a clip of him saying that.
But
him being Crosby.
Diaby concluded with that, saying that he felt he wasn't very patient with his rushes last year, and he thinks he's going to take this into the new season, and he's got to be better at finishing. And Diaby said this. He said, and for a young guy, I was surprised he said it. So, you know, the Matt Ryans and the Eli Mannings, they're out of the league now.
Yeah.
These guys can move, and technique is more important now for edge rushers. And what are your thoughts on all this?
The one thing that I hope Diaby got from Max Crosby, because I think this is Crosby's number one element that he brings to his game. He's a hell of a player.
No
question about it. And when we thought that he was going to be available, Lee and I were saying, go get him, Mike. Go get him. I don't give up on number one. Go get him. But he wasn't available, and the Raiders were smart to keep him. He's relentless, Lee. He's relentless. Energy. The great ones have that. TJ Watt.
Yeah.
He doesn't give up on a play. So if Diaby could get that quality, whereas keep plugging away because you never know, there could be pressure from the other side. The quarterback could end up coming right towards you as long as you keep moving. And Crosby's great at it. I could see 10 sacks for Diaby this year.
Oh, I hope so.
I could see it.
If he gets 10 sacks, the Bucs are winning some playoff games.
I'll just say it
right now.
I could see it.
And I saw that clip where Crosby said he was telling the campers, hands are so important. He said, an offensive lineman can't get his hands on you. He can't stop you. I thought that was a hell of a point. Now, to what Diaby, you see, he was quoting Diaby. You know, you hear some people, you especially, Ira, pressure up the middle, get them off their spot. That didn't work like it used to. The NFL's evolving. Quarterbacks are evolving. The guys like Brady and Matt Ryan and Stafford, the immobile guys are starting to be.
Kirk Cousins, throw him in.
Kirk Cousins,
Brady.
Another one. Those guys are starting to be less and less as years go on.
Bryce Young, he moves.
Easy. Yeah, that's not annoying. I'm talking about stellar quarterbacks.
Oh, stellar quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's why I'm not trying to lower the bar.
I thought you were talking about their style.
Well, yeah. It's a style. You get pressure up the middle against a Jaden Daniels and guys like that. Those take a couple steps to the side. Boom, complete a pass. Well, what was so beautiful when the Bucks beat the Packers and beat the Chiefs in the NFC Championship game and Super Bowl, respectively? Mahomes, mobile. Aaron Rodgers, at the time, mobile. Villa got pressure up front. Sue got pressure up front. They sidestepped. Problem was, there was Shaq Barrett and JPP catched him in a trap.
They sacked Rodgers 6 times in that game.
It was beautiful. Well, the Bucks, since Shaq Barrett got old, they had no trap. They had nothing coming off the edge. You can get pressure up the middle all you want. These guys just take a couple steps, if not take off running, like Jaden Daniels did. That's why if Reddick can get going, if Diaby can get going, this could be a lethal front line.
That's a strong word, Lee. And don't forget the man that's going to shake up the world, Chris Braswell.
Hey, Irie, you know,
I haven't heard that line since Muhammad Ali said it.
Going back, watching through some of these Bucks games, looking at the film and just digging a little bit deeper. Bottom line, you look at the film, Diaby is, for a beast of a man, for a guy who plays the run fantastically well, he gets too tentative on his pass rushes. He's afraid, it looks like, oh my gosh, I may miss the guy. He may break contain and lose it. I think if he can get more aggressive, he's got those 10 sacks in him. He freezes up. And I think that's something that could really be coached out of him. I look forward to seeing it. Florida's Elite Restoration is there for everyone 24/7. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Prepare for any disaster by knowing who to call in your time of need. Experienced professionals who have worked on the insurance side of the business, so they know exactly how to take care of your situation and make sure you get compensated and you have the money to restore your property and even replace everything, because they are a one-stop shop. Florida's Elite Restoration. We've talked about them many times. Fire, flood, they are licensed mold remediation specialists, storm damage, whatever it is, you call them first before you call your insurance company. Remember to ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. Mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira when you call, and they'll give you $500 back if you need their services after your free evaluation. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. 5-star Google reviews as well. Check them out. Do your homework. So, Ira, look, a couple of things. NFL.com, they released their top 100 runs of last season. A lot of fun watch.
There better be a few Bucky Irving runs on there.
And I love going through all of those things to learn a little bit more about the league. It's just my own personal thing. And sometimes you can get a sense of who's got better bursts than other guys when you're seeing these repetitive plays back and forth. But you know what? Baker Mayfield had 3 of the top runs in the NFL last year.
You're preaching to the choir. How many times have I talked about Mayfield being an effective scrambler, Lee?
Now, this, what fans, I think, goes over their head a little bit is his production on the ground last year was historic for himself. He blew away any previous running stats that he had.
Had more rushing yards than Patrick Mahomes last year.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can he do it again? He wants to do it again. But that's a bit of an X factor for a guy who every year was getting 150 yards on the ground, and all of a sudden he's well into the 300s.
Yeah.
And not only that, he's blocking down the field and other stuff. But on 2 of those runs, I had to laugh because I had to think of the Brent Bredesen haters, the Bucks left guard that a lot of fans drives them nuts.
And most of these runs are on 3rd down, right, Steve? 3rd down.
Of course. So there's the big run that he had, 3rd and 14 against the Saints. Final game of the year, Bucks game still in peril against this horrible team. 3rd and 14 on his 5-yard line. How bad are the Bucks mentally?
So now they're getting ready to punt.
Yeah, they're struggling. So Mayfield drops back to pass on 3rd and 14. Ben Bredesen gets his clock clean and he's running for his life, Mayfield, and he gets the first down. All right. And another run was against the Giants for a touchdown. Ben Bredesen, it's one of the funnier pieces of video out there. Ben Bredesen, right off the line, off the snap, he gets pushed in the chest by the defensive lineman. He falls back on his ass after a couple of, like, Three Stooges steps, And fall
what back. What is this, a Ben Bredesen roast over here, Stevie?
So I just thought it was a little bit funny and ironic, and the Bredesen haters can be fueled for a July 4th weekend.
Did anybody comment on these runs, or they just show the runs?
No, this is run after run. Okay. 100, 99, all right. 98, all the way.
Bucky Irving had plenty. Have a couple?
Yeah, he definitely had plenty in there. I thought he should have been higher on some. But the Mayfield thing, he pulled out some magic last year, and they may need
Bredesen
it again.
Bredesen owes him a little bit.
Bruce Arians always bragged up Baker Mayfield. But Mayfield would drive Arians nuts with his running. And I think there's some truth to it. You know, he was recently asked, Bruce Arians, about quarterbacks running. He goes, quarterback puts himself in harm's way, harm will find you.
Wow. Now, we're not saying that Mayfield takes off like Lamar Jackson.
No.
Lee, we're not saying that. I think he's sneaky effective.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to talk him out of some of these runs.
I think you're right. At least the quarterback coach is.
I don't know if those talks are going to be fruitful.
Well, Steve and I have written about this several times. It's really a fine line. You want the guy to be aggressive. Obviously, you want him to, you know, key run. Nobody's open. Go for it. But you also, you know, hey, you're 30. We need you on the field. Guys who are 30 years old don't bounce back like
they
did.
It's like this bitch trying to tell me to calm down on the podcast.
It's a fine line.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
The Ira Kaufman podcast, of course, you can find on the iHeartRadio app, easy to listen to there. Leek made a great point. And you know what? One of the great examples of this is, of all people, Buccaneers fans will remember Josh Freeman. 2010, the number two running quarterback in the NFL behind Michael Vick was Josh Freeman. He was 22 years old. He was a monster, a physical specimen. And the Bucs told him, Raheem Morris, no more running. No, we don't want you to run.
Going into 2011?
It was an organizational decision. Mark Dominic, Raheem.
You're our
franchise quarterback. You just had 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Great year. We won 10 games. No. Don't do this. And if you really go back and look at it, Freeman was extremely Josh Allen-like. He was that strong and big.
Guys hanging off him.
Big arm, not a big completion percentage early in his season. Could take a shot, wasn't afraid to do it, and was just excited about it. And they pulled the plug on the guy, and he never seemed the same type of player.
Did his rushing numbers go down significantly?
They went down, taking a peek, they went down 35% the following year. And, you know, I don't want to see them take Mayfield's instincts away.
Now, that's not the reason they lost their last 10 games.
Not at all.
But Freeman did not have a good year after that 4-2 start. That might have been part of it.
Oh, yeah.
That could have been part
of
it.
I'm sure it was something.
He wasn't the reason they lost 10 in a row, but he didn't help.
I would love to give some people truth serum. I've heard bits and pieces, but not even enough to tease you, but something happened in London. I know we all know about Akeem Tlaib blowing up. I think it was something like a hell of a lot more than that. Something happened in London or on that plane.
Whatever
back and
happens
forth
in London stays in London, Lee.
That's one city I don't think I'll ever see. But something happened on that trip.
And he wasn't the same.
They were never the same. They're 4-2. They beat the Saints at home. If I remember correctly, wasn't it Quincy Black who got a key? If it wasn't a pick, it was a batted down pass.
Quincy Black?
Of Drew Brees in the end zone to seal a win. The Bucs go up 4-2. High as a kite. People are talking playoffs. And they never won with Raheem as a coach again. And I'm not trying to be a jackass here, but a couple of cheerleaders got thrown off the squad. Something happened over there.
That was Ira. He was,
seriously, a couple or three cheerleaders.
Well, don't blame me because I didn't make the trip.
And the person who's, I'm not going to out her, but the person who's in charge of the cheerleaders lost her job after a few months later. I don't know if they got caught doing some weird stuff with players. I don't know, but
those are the parties Ira was invited to in the 70s.
And instead, you stuck with Roy Cummings.
Oh.
Hey, Ira, look, since we're talking about some players of 10, 15 years ago, one guy was on the radio, a guy Bucs fans remember well, LeVar Arrington, former Redskins linebacker. He's on Fox Sports Radio.
Very highly regarded coming out of college.
Well, he
was a hell of a player, and in that Bucs loss in the 05 playoffs, he picked off Chris Sims, ran it back to the 5-yard line. They scored the next play. This was a tight game, critical play. And he said he has a lot of respect for Todd Bowles, but he said if the Bucs make the playoffs, win the division, lose in the playoffs, first game. It's a loss of a season. That's a loss on the resume of Todd Bowles. I believe that.
You know what?
But do you believe that, Ira?
I think I do believe that. I think I go along with Arrington on that. I don't think he's off base, considering the talent that's on this roster, and going back to the fact that when we're looking for weak spots, we're looking at backups, and other teams are looking for, you know, a starting wide receiver, and they got four or five good ones. I think if even if they make the playoffs and one and done, I don't think that's acceptable for where this team is right now. I don't.
I agree with you, but what's the ramifications? Now, I don't think Bowles is going to lose his job, but I think, you know, the Bucs choke in the first game of the playoffs. He's on Father Dungey
Watch.
Well,
Arrington didn't suggest that Bowles would be in trouble or anything. He just said that.
No,
it's
he
a
just
lost
said
season.
It's a lost season for.
It is
Bowles.
Lost season.
I think where they are right now.
A lost season. Yeah.
I don't think that's a stretch. I don't think that's a stretch. I think expectations are that high.
So if you think they should win, oh,
here we
game,
go.
Is what you're
here
saying.
We go.
You think they should win here the playoff we go. Game? That means you're telling Tampa Bay.
I got them as 11 wins right now.
I know. So you're saying they should be 11 wins and win a playoff game. That's sort of what's expected. Barring injuries.
That's a bottom line.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means you think the Bucs are a top four team because they're going to make the final four.
In the conference.
In the conference. So which three teams are better?
I thought you were going somewhere else.
The Eagles aren't going anywhere. Strong in the trenches. Hurts gets the job done. Barkley's in his prime. They got two really good receivers. Philly. Detroit, which I think's taking a step back in the offseason. But, you know, I like the coach. I think Goff's got one more year left in him. You know, he's not 27 anymore, Goff. But they got weapons. Gibbs is great. I think he makes that offense go. Just like I think Bucky Irving's about to make the Buck offense
They lost
go.
Their coaches, their coordinators.
Yeah. Among others.
Yeah. They got some issues on defense.
But I still won't put the Bucks ahead of Detroit.
No center.
Yeah, exactly. You took words out of my mouth. They're all pro center.
And maybe Washington, although, you know, McLaurin's holding out. I don't know if he's coming to training camp. He's their big wide receiver.
It.
Daniels isn't going anywhere. He's outstanding. I mean, Buck fans saw him up close. He's unflappable, Lee. The poise of Daniels.
What about the Rams?
The Rams are an interesting team. Great coach. Who else loses an Aaron Donald and they you know
don't blink.
They don't go to 6-11.
I think Tom Brady was better than Aaron Donald, more valuable. Maybe not in his last year. I'll take that back.
Well,
I take it back. Don't worry.
All right. Don't knock Aaron Donald. I mean,
no,
you know,
he's
tremendous.
He's probably better than Sapp.
Ooh.
You know, do I need to say anything more than that? I think they're number four.
I think that's fair.
This team still gets run wherever I look. I just don't get it. The 49ers. People, like they got the 49ers ranked higher than the Bucks. They lost a lot of starters. McCaffrey's a year older. I just don't
decline.
Get it.
I think the Niners are in decline.
Arizona's better.
Ooh.
Better than the Bucs or the...
No, the Niners.
Oh.
I think we're going to see that this year.
I think you said the Arizona.
They're doing some good things, the Cardinals. They're doing some good things.
All right, Ira, final thought for Bucs fans. 30 seconds as we head out the door.
I believe the first song that I will play on my Les Paul, hey, Tampa Bay, I got to get the chords
okay,
right.
Okay, there you go.
Because there's probably only two chords in the song. Yeah. That fits me to
All
a
right,
T.
You're fired, Ira. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We've got a new one coming out tomorrow. This one drops July 3rd, but we've already got an episode we just recorded, a little more lighthearted, a little different, a little fun, I think, anyway. And that'll be coming out July 4th at some point. So look for that. We appreciate the many thousands of subscribers. If you don't subscribe, it is easy. So just go ahead and do it. And feel free, like on Apple Podcasts, to leave a review. Ira loves seeing those. We talk about one of them in the next podcast. Always thanks to all the listeners at joebucksfan.com. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, BillCurryFord.com, and Florida's Elite Restoration. Prepare, be ready, FloridasElitereRestoration.com. Water damage is a killer. Ira is going to be playing his guitar, so if you're driving through Newport Richey, please put on noise-canceling headphones.